Time for another Area Fishing Report. We've just been discussing our soundboard here. We push the things up, and I'm smacking it and beating on it, trying to get it to work. Yeah, about time to put the new equipment in. It's been, but it's going to be a week or two yet. We've got Robert in the chair across from me, and this is Fish and Frank Radio Fishing, a registered trademark of Fish and Frank's, which is a registered trademark of Fish and Frank, which is a registered trademark of mine. Yes, not to be used or rebroadcast in any way, shape, or form without explicit written permission from me. So, might as well throw that in there. But this is an Area Fishing Report on Radio Fishing. And this is Radio Fishing, found exclusively on fishandfranks.com. And supposedly free and no advertising interruptions. But that could all change. We've been getting actual requests from people to advertise on here. And I think we've got a way of fitting it in where it's actually going to be pretty cool, where companies can talk about their products and what fish are caught on them, and we're going to be discussing that more as time goes by.
That'll be pretty cool.
It's going to be pretty cool, and we've been guest hosting on a nationally broadcast show, and Robert and I have been, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's been real interesting.
9 states and 15 cities, I think, right now, and growing, so we're going to see where that all works out. Let's see. Area Fishing Report. Where do you want to start to? Let's start down by Ponderosa. It's been a little slow down there by the south end of Sanibel, and let's work our way around from there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we've had some miscellaneous reports all over the place this week, and I think part of it's due. I think some people actually extended some of their, like, summer vacation from the long holiday weekend, you know, just by what we're getting from feedback for the fishing reports and customers in here.
I think so. Everybody went on vacation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy how many people are gone.
It's surprising. It's really surprising.
I mean, we're seeing a lot of tourist people coming down to see grandma and grandpa and the family and stuff down here, and a lot of people went up north.
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone to the east coast of Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. They're traveling all over the place.
Yeah, it's
crazy how many people are gone and how many people have been coming here. I guess it's like if you live on one side of the lake, you got a fish on the other side.
It's always greener on the other side of the grass.
But it is nice to get away, you know, so.
Absolutely.
A lot of small day tripping going on right now, and, tripping, okay. I know I'll get sued if I use their music. Let's see. We're talking about down by Sanibel. Now, a ton of snook right around the bridge there at Ponderosa. How's the tarpon down there, Robert?
The tarpon out on the beaches have been incredible, and then there's been quite a few fish kind of moving up in between Redfish Pass and Ponderosa itself, kind of moving back and forth. I think some of that water that they're releasing out of Okeechobee is kind of playing a mind game on a lot of the fishermen more than it is the fish.
Yeah, I think people get a little too wrapped up in what's going on because I don't think the fish notice it as much.
Yeah, you see the brown water and it just doesn't seem as appealing, so therefore they just make up the myth that now the fishing is garbage here, so let's move to a different area where it's a little more picturesque, I guess, that way they can blame
makes them feel better
fishing.
Yeah. So but there's plenty of tarpon, snook right along the beaches, underneath the bridge.
The snook at Redfish Pass have been unbelievable from what I've been hearing from one or two guys underneath all those boat docks by the condos and stuff right there by Ponderosa.
Right.
Have loaded up with some real nice snook and a few really big redfish. A couple guys even got some legal gags from underneath the Sanibel Causeway and underneath those docks over there, too.
Okay, now, we've got walking along the beach. If you were going to walk along the beach right now, anywhere right now, it's not very different from Sanibel, Captiva, Cayo Costa, Gasparilla, all the way on up down the beach. It's loaded with snook.
Yeah.
And you're just casting right along the shorelines. But there is some reports of a few pompano moving up and down. Not many, but a few.
A few pompano. I mean, when you're finding them, it's a good little nut. I mean, there's a good little school of them, but they're very scattered. They are a little bit better fish, too. They're in, like, that 3 to 5 pound range instead of the usual 1.5 to 2 pounders.
So, got some nice, we've heard a few schools of jacks going down. They don't last long, big money on the jacks.
Yeah, they either disappear or they run.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of schools of little bait fish just 3 to 5 miles offshore, so some of those fish have been actually staying out in that little bit deeper water, too.
And speaking of going out into the Gulf, I mean, you got Bonita still blitzing out there.
Just starting to really go to town. I mean, from Sanibel up to Venice, I'm hearing good reports from most of them are in that 10 to 15 mile range. Some really, really big schools at like 15 to 20 miles. And those that are out there at like that 15 to 20 mile range have got some blackfin mixed in with them. There's also mass feeding frenzy going on with some really large sharks on most of those Bonita schools out there. So if you're able to be fortunate enough to run and gun up on top of those fish, it's a pretty spectacular sight. I mean, it's definitely a shark week moment. You know, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you would almost think we're kind of running out of the shark season, but I mean, the snapper, lots of keeper guy grouper happening, and you don't have to get that far out to find the keepers. All the way, Novak Tremblay would be okay, but if I was going to start fishing gags, I'd be Captiva Pass.
I was going to say, it seems like it's better fishing south, that's closer to shore.
Yeah, and some really nice mangrove snappers out there, but I'd start a Captiva Pass and go out towards the power poles, get out, the boxcar's got some. I mean, any of the reefs out there, pick a spot, and probably a spot just kind of off of the reefs would be my best guess.
Yeah.
You know,
The guys are getting them trolling, you know, some of those like stretch 30s, you know, some of the depth-specific lures. They're doing real good on grunts seem to be the better choice over pinfish. Squid have been working pretty well, so have the sardines. It's kind of been a mixed gamut out there. And surprisingly enough, we haven't really gone into a true peewee shrimp season. It seems pretty consistent with some better shrimp. Some of those really large shrimp are working well on some of those small little patch reefs that you find, the little rock piles and little ledges out there. If a gag can beat a mangrove snapper to it, They've been really jumping on those shrimp.
One thing we haven't talked about, and they're doing really well in that within 9 miles and 10 miles, is lane snapper. There's a lot of lane snapper out there. Seeing also a couple of mackerel, a few king mackerel, not a lot. Some porgies, grunts. I mean, the fishing out there is actually pretty good right now.
Yeah.
And red grouper are not to be forgotten. They're still, you can still keep
them. Still plenty of those around.
Get out 50 feet of water and you're going to do well on those red grouper out there.
There's been some chicken dolphins showing up too out there. Not a lot, but enough to be aware of it and be prepared for it.
Yeah, there's some really nice fish to be had out in the Gulf right now. And I think be really surprised at what's going on right now out there. And we're still getting some pictures of some nice kings and stuff like that. Watch the weather though. Don't let the storm get between you and shore.
Yeah.
If you see a storm building up, that's your cue. Go in. You're not going to wait it out, because what if it comes backwards and one comes in behind you? You don't want to be out there in that. The Gulf gets really, really nasty. And better part of valor is always, first rule of fishing in the Gulf, you got a storm building between you and shore, time to go home.
Yeah, run.
It's not time to wait it out and see what happens.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Or have a full tank of gas to run 100 miles south to get away from.
Yeah.
We're going to the Keys tonight. It's an unexpected trip.
Visit Fort Jefferson, see what's going on out there. You know, it's always a cool walk around the fort. Fort Jefferson's always really cool. But coming up along, stop in at Lemon Bay. What's going on in Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay has been a little quiet this week. I mean, since the 4th of July, it's kind of been some sporadic reports in the actual main ICW of Lemon Bay. But around Stump Pass, still getting some good reports of some big snooks, some decent sharks coming through there. Tarpon have been moving in and out through there. There's been some really big ladyfish. Not great numbers, but like 3 pounders. And I would say that there's probably still some decent redfish and snook, without a doubt, along all those docks up along the ICW there in Lemon Bay. But
I got instant message there on Facebook from Chris Foley, and he says the mangrove snapper bite is insane in Lemon Bay right now. There's some barracudas, but we're going to probably call them sennets.
Yeah, more likely.
The barracuda, and there is redfish. You want to get there the last half of the incoming, first half of the outgoing, according to Chris. He's saying that's doing really good out there. But bucktails along the beach seem to be doing really good on the snook. And there's a lot of flounder. He says they've been catching a lot of flounder up there.
That's a little strange.
Mostly small ones. He said there's very few in the keeper size, but a lot of small flounder along the beaches.
A little odd for this time of year, but pretty cool.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the Facebook report there.
I like it. It's better than what I've been getting. I haven't heard much up there. It's been a little strange. You know, I'm getting, you know, more consistent reports near the passes and everything, you know, on the mangrove snapper, but it's not overly surprising that they're getting them up there in the flats and around those docks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's been a phenomenal time, and this full moon is when the mangrove snapper go out and spawn, so it's not real surprising that you're seeing more numbers of them all around there throughout the intercoastal.
Well, moving down towards Gasparilla Sound and Placida Trestle, what's been going on Gasparilla Pass, Placida Trestle area?
A lot of mangrove snappers. The day bite's been good. The nighttime's been better for the bigger ones. There's been an oddball Spanish mackerel coming through here and there. Some small sharks, especially bonnet heads and some Atlantic sharpnose. Spade fish have been pretty scattered but consistent all up and down the Placida Trestle. There's been a lot of little tarpon. A lot of little tarpon and even some bigger tarpon popping at night once that sun goes down all around the bridges there going on to Boca Grande. All the docks there on Little Gasparilla and the north end of Boca have got some really nice snook and some oversized slot or over the slot reds. Most of those are being caught on pinfish and bigger shrimp.
Greenbacks are doing well. According to a lot of the people, there's a lot of greenbacks. If you just go out right along the barrier islands on the beaches, you can go 5 to 10 feet of water and find a lot of bait fish out there right now.
Yeah, a lot of schools of those. We saw them a couple weeks ago out there at the beach.
Now, getting down around devilfish, sandfly and all that, a lot of reds and snook out there in that flats. The tailing flats are finally coming alive out there. Yeah. There's a lot of fish in the tailing flats.
I think the, you know, Bull Bay has been so quiet, and Widden Bay or Widden Creek, all those creeks and bays have been getting inundated with so much rain that we've been having move in and off of the Gulf this past week. I think it's finally did a hard enough push to move some of those fish out onto those flats and some of those little islands, like all around Ko Palau, just stacked with some really, really nice snook and some good redfish. Even a few trout and some bigger sharks chasing around on those flats, too.
You heard a lot about big sharks in the flats. This has probably been the one year, not since the 90s, have I heard about so many 6, 7, 8 foot sharks on the flats, bull sharks, lemon sharks, nurse sharks.
Especially the nurse sharks. It's been an impressive year for the nurse sharks. I mean, yeah. Usually you just hear one here and there, and to hear this
even
one.
The sawfish. I mean, yeah. Hearing a lot about, and they're not the little 3, 4 footers. I mean,
no.
5, 6, 7, 12 foot nurse or sawfish, which is similar to nurse shark, except they got a great big nose on it with lots of teeth. You know, those sawfish are just pretty amazing. But you have to keep in mind that the nurse sharks, the sawfish, the lemon sharks, and the bull sharks can all lay still. They don't have to keep moving like a
black tip
or hammerhead or any of these other spinners, threshers, and all that. All of them have to move all the time. These sharks can literally lay still, and they're fine laying still. So they can go in 2, 3 feet of water and just hang out.
Absolutely.
Find food back there. Bonnet sharks, another one that can just lay still. So, you know, these sharks tend to go in these shallow waters. But this has been an unbelievable year for people bringing up redfish and seeing big chunks taken out of the redfish from the sharks.
Right, absolutely.
And that's pretty much a bull shark thing. These bull sharks, I think, are learning more and more that sound of boat means sound of somebody fishing and easier prey. Yeah. It used to be flipper. You know, the dolphins were the only ones that would come up when we were fishing. And, you know, you'd release a fish and the dolphins would snatch it. The bull sharks are learning the same habit.
Yeah.
And it's
crazy.
They're putting
that over there in Australia with a couple of places where the bull sharks actually follow the fishermen.
And one thing you don't want to do if you're fishing in the flats, turn your depth finder off. If you have your fish finder on, you're going to attract more bull sharks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will cue into the sound of that fish finder pinging. So make sure if you're on the flats and you don't want to be bothered by the bull sharks, number one, first thing you do is turn that depth finder off.
Yeah.
People tend to leave it on while they're fishing, but that's a big no-no right now. And you're probably going to hear a lot more about this, but bull sharks are actually, they're figuring out a fish finder means easier food.
Exactly.
And so if you're grouper fishing and you're out there, you're anchored up grouper fishing, turn the depth finder off. No fish finders when you're on the flats or once you anchor up grouper fishing. You're better off because it's not going to track the amount of those predators. And people are going to find out this more and more because they make a noise. That's how they figure out how far away they are.
Biologists have known that for years with the fish finders, when it comes to sharks. I mean, talking to Jody a couple weeks ago with that great white that followed them around for a little bit over off the Bahamas. Came right up, honed in right on the bottom machine because they do it all the time from his past experience.
Yeah.
Got three or four boats around and the shark got a little disoriented because of too many pings going on, and it actually sounded and disappeared. But with one boat around, it was no problem. It just stayed right with the boat.
I think it's going to be a bigger thing in years. But let's get back to the fishing report. Bull Bay's been a little quiet, but the outside of Turtle Bay, up inside the bay, not so much. But out near the mouth, there's been a lot of fish out there.
Yeah, a lot of redfish moving in and out of there. The snook have been big time moving around out there from just right there at the entrances of both Gallagher's Cut and the main entrance into Turtle. And they're cruising that entire shoreline across that whole sandbar. Those bigger redfish. There has been some redfish, but they're right just on the other side of that little oyster bar there. They just not up inside the way you would think they would be this time of year.
Yeah, usually that backside of Turtle Bay is just loaded up with fish, and for some reason or other, they're not being there this year. But out in front, you've got a little bit of pompano out there. You got a few cobia. You got a lot of small sharks. You're getting out near that Cape Hayes Reef. And from Gallagher's Cut, right along the beach, all the way out to the Cape Hayes Reef, even Danger Reef, you've seen cobia, some small sharks, a lot of Goliath grouper out there. A
lot of mangrove snapper.
And gag grouper on the reef right there at the Cape Hayes Reef. There's a lot of structure for them. They seem to like it, doing well. Not many people fishing it, so it's a great bet to get out there and work that Cape Hayes Reef, try and get your keeper gag without having to go to the Gulf.
Right.
And same thing up the, as we're coming up into the harbor, I know we got to do the west wall, but I'm going to jump over to the reef for a minute because Captain Kale's been doing keeper 26, 29-inch gag grouper on the concrete reef there at Alligator Creek.
Right.
You still got a few sharks. You got some cobia, some snappers, spadefish.
Said there, anytime you're at, especially Alligator Creek Reef, don't dedicate to one spot. Move the anchor. Move around a lot. You start getting beat up by the Goliath grouper, pull the anchor, move to the next spot. Whether you move 50 feet or 150 feet, just move.
Yeah, because if you fall in love with a spot, you're going to not get the benefits of that reef. Anchor up on one side, give it 40 minutes. If you're not doing well, pull the anchor, go to the other side of the reef and anchor up. You have to break that habit of, I dropped the anchor, this is it, I'm done for the day. Unless you just want to sit and relax, because it's a great place to sit and relax. It's beautiful out there, if you're into cloud watching, it's a great idea, watching the birds and the clouds and the dolphins go by. But if you're there to catch a fish, try one side of the reef. If you're not hitting them, pack it up, get to the other side of the reef. It only takes a few minutes to do so. You got to pull the anchor. We could all use the exercise.
Absolutely.
So coming back down to Cape Hayes, working up the west wall, I hear the incoming tide's better on that south half.
Yeah, definitely. There's been some really good redfish right along the bushes there, right, especially like right around Muddy Bay, and working your way up for about that first half a mile up the west wall. There's been some scattered snook moving in and out of there. Out on the bar there, basically on the southern part of the west wall, there has been a few tarpon, few sharks and cobia, but it seems like most of them have concentrated on Cape Hayes, but further out, closer towards the point and a little bit
closer
deeper
towards
water.
Marker 5.
Yeah.
Getting out there where you got a little more water flow. One of the things Charlotte Harbor has is a problem with water flow, and as Boca Grande Pass gets a little shallower, I don't know if it's going to make the other passes deeper or not, but this water's got to come in and out somewhere.
Right.
But we're seeing a return to literally 1905. And right now the pass is probably at the levels it was in 1935 and getting shallower and shallower outside where the shipping lanes were. It's everything's changing, but that you get a good water flow there by Cape Hayes. You've got an incoming and outgoing tide hitting each other at that point. You got the water coming down from the river. You got the water coming in from the Gulf. It's a great blend spot. But working our way back up the northern half from the towers north along the west side, you're going to have to find the mouth of a creek, a little bit deeper water with lots of tree cover. It's got to be shady.
And moving water.
Got got to be shady. And getting up into the Mayaca River itself on the western side from Trout Creek North going over towards Eljo, you've got some good redfish along that side. They seem to be more smaller fish on that side, more smaller reds. There's bigger ones over along Hog Island, but not as many.
Right.
And out through the middle of there, we've seen a few tarpon,
a few cobia. There's even been an occasional lost Spanish mackerel coming through.
Now, what's going on in Eljo? I hear that's kind of the daytime spot right now.
Yeah, it's been a daytime spot and a little bit at night. You know, the mangrove snapper bite's been really good the last couple days, day and night. And they're catching them all sizes. Usually it seems like the bigger ones bite at night, but they've been getting them both day and night. Been a few black drum, and this year's been like, for what, the last 10 years have been really, really crappy with black drum overall.
Right.
Except for that big school that comes in every year and then disappears mysteriously. They pull a David Copperfield and just all of a sudden are gone.
I mean, there's 1,000, 2,000 black drum in this school, and then there's another 1,000, 2,000 in another school, and then all of a sudden
they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, abracadabra.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
But, I have no idea what those are.
But this year, I mean, you got them from, I mean, the black drum are scattered everywhere. I mean, it's been pretty incredible. It's kind of nice to see a comeback of them after seeing them here for so many years and then having them be gone overnight.
Yeah.
Been some decent snook fishing there. Tarpon have been pretty consistent at night of assorted sizes from little, you know, 10 pounders up to like 100 pounders.
Yeah, Eljo is probably the better spot for daytime fishing right now.
Definitely.
So, but haven't heard a lot about the Mayaca cutoff. Few big monster snook, but you're really going to have to work for them. You got to be really sneaky and really work to get those big fish to hit. They're in there, but the cutoffs, you better be sneaky and stealthy and on your game plan, because otherwise you're not going to get those fish. Coming up around to Alligator Bay, around Port Charlotte Beach.
The evening bite right there, like at the mouths of the canals, have been producing a few redfish and a few snook. The beach complex itself off the pier has been getting a few snook and redfish mainly at night or first thing in the morning, but the mangrove snapper bites actually kind of improved the last couple of days, especially more in the center section of the pier. Haven't heard much up inside the canals other than there has been some black drum cruising around and a lot of juvenile tarpon, especially in East Spring Lake, Edgewater Lake. And as you get up to the spill dams along 41, there's been a lot of juvenile tarpon there with a few snook, but even the snook have gotten a little quiet this week.
So, but all in all, the fishing all the way around is pretty good.
Yeah,
let's take a minute to drop back down the east side, go to Matt Lachey for a moment. We're in redfish, snook. Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting there, I don't know what just happened to my digestive system. Give me that. Dang, there. That was just, where did that high pitch come from? I'm a low talker.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, I'd like to be. But going down around Mount Lachey, redfish and snook around the bridges, how's the tarpon activity over there?
The tarpon's been pretty good right around the bridge itself. There's been a lot of, you know, a lot of juvenile, you know, sub-adult, I should say, because there are a lot of those in that 40 to 60-pound range, it seems like, on both sides of the channel, going south and north, down around the Indian Fields, some really good quality redfish, quite a few oversized redfish mixed in down there. As you come a little bit further north, heading up towards kind of Boquilla, underneath all those bushes and some of those little cuts have been more slot-sized redfish, a few incidental trout right along the edges in that deeper grass.
From what I hear, Two Pines is doing well. We've got a lot of snook there. Even on the outside, you're still getting those some schools of trout working through there, coming down to Burnt Store, absolutely loaded with snook, manatees.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy with the manatees down there and the snook. I mean, Burnt Store Marina is so full of fish right now, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the snook on unbelievable.
Coming outside, getting up towards Pirate Harbor, we're getting back into some redfish around the islands there at Pirate Harbor.
Well, and also if you get out on the outside of the bar there from Burnt Store up to Pirate Harbor in like that 7 to 10 feet of water range drifting through there, they've been getting a lot of nice silver trout too, you know, which is kind of nice. You know, they're scattered throughout there, but it seems to be like that 2-mile stretch there has got a fairly good concentration of them, and it's not too far out. I'd say, what, 3/4 of a mile from the shoreline?
There's some nice schools of fish down around through there.
As you get up closer to, like, Hobbs Point and Pirate Harbor, Hobbs Point's got a lot of little bonnetheads on the out front of it. A few mangrove snappers still behind it, but that's kind of gotten quiet this past week. Inside Pirate Harbor, a lot of mangrove snappers still. It seems like the week of mangrove snapper. A lot of juvenile tarpons floating around through there. Some of the fly fishermen have been going in there and doing some real good numbers, you know, jumping 15, 20 fish. I mean, they're only like 5 to 15 pounds, but hey.
A lot of fun. Still, if you're using a 6-7 weight fly rod, they're amazing, good time. Weight forward, intermediate sinking, or a floating with just the little tiniest bit of lead on your fly line. And don't be in a real hurry to strip. I mean, just
let it slowly sink.
Yeah, go back to the 1930s burlesque. Don't get to the modern ones. You know, this is a take your time and do it easy. And this is not, you know, get right to the nitty gritty and get it moving. So coming up, a lot of redfish down at the south half of the East Wall, or the East Keys, and you got to look around the islands. Get around the islands, go look behind the islands, try and find something a little bit deeper there. A little bit of moving water helps. Remember, it's just like you. If you're standing there, it's hot and still. If you can get into the breeze, it's cooler. Same thing happens in the water. As that water moves, it cools down a little bit, and the fish are looking for that couple of degrees cooler water. Out on the sandbar, a few bonnet sharks.
Quite a few bonnet heads. Just as you get on the outside edge of the bar, jumps into the Atlantic sharpnose and some blacknose sharks. A few oddball tarpon and cobia cruising up and down on that bar too. Just not super consistent, but definitely enough to be prepared for it to happen, because I mean, and they are there.
If you get to the mouth of Alligator Creek there, you've got some redfish right around the mouth, some great snook activity. If you get up there by the boat ramp for Riviera Marina, you got some monster snook there, guys.
Right.
Really big snook. Little maverick lures, big maverick lures, always a great one to try there. And
been a few jacks moving in and out of there. Not great numbers, but a little bit better quality.
Some nice big jacks.
Yeah, like that 5 to 10 pound range. Not like we were spoiled, you know, 15 years ago when the price of the fish market wasn't so terrifying on them.
Yeah, jacks are, believe it or not, Florida's the only place that doesn't eat jacks. I mean, they're actually a delicacy in many areas. And I have to get some good recipes for Jack Revelle. There's some great stuff out there.
Absolutely.
But coming around, the only reason, if we get people eating them, maybe we can get them on a game fish status rather than trash fish status. And if they get game fish and limit the commercial take of them, that would be just spectacular.
Oh, yes. It would be a real good thing.
And PGI, the canals, big black drum, Goliath grouper up 30 pounds plus.
Yeah.
Hearing a lot of big Goliath back there. I haven't heard any gags coming out of the PGI canals, although there should be.
You would think so, but you just don't ever hear about them. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, there
should be.
I mean,
even the juveniles, you would think that there would be a lot more juveniles being caught up in there. Same with Pirate Harbor. You hardly ever hear of them in Pirate Harbor either.
And they got to be there.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yeah, so
a lot of juvenile tarpon still up there, especially around all the snook lights at night. There is a pile of juvenile tarpon, and they're a little bit better. They're running from that 10 to like 30 pound range.
Yeah, those are about 2-3 foot fish there.
Yeah.
Real nice fish.
Snook have been doing exceptionally well, especially at night, more or less than anything else.
Colony Point,
Colony
big
Point,
jacks.
Big jacks, some nice snook. Mangrove snapper there. A few pompano right at the mouth there, coming off of that bar there, you know, just south of the channel.
Yep.
A few cobia kind of lingering around. There's been quite a few tarpon. You know, I think it's the same group of fish that are up around the bridges that have been right there between Colony and Fisherman's Village out there on that big flat.
First thing in the morning. Well, not first thing. I'm going to say if you get to Fisherman's Village around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, you're probably going to see a few hundred tarpon rolling on that flat between Fisherman's Village and Bass Inlet going over towards the entrance to the yacht club. There's a lot of fish cruising there every morning. They're just rolling, playing. I think they're trying to decide what they're going to do for the day, because they don't really seem to feed there, but they just kind of show up there and go, okay, are we going to go here? Are we going to go there? What do you guys want to do today? And kind of discuss what they're going to do. But they will eat. Great spot for your fly rod. DOA bait buster. Toss it, bring it in slow. These are good things for over there.
Absolutely.
Now, 41 Bridge, the people walking the bridge, I get stopped all the time, restaurants, stores, whatever, and people asking me, what are these huge fish down there? They're walking over the bridge, exercising, you know, and doing that. Look over the side, and they see these monster fish just moving along the pilings there.
Yeah.
And most of them are black drum. Yeah. Now, there is a few Goliath grouper mixed in with them, and some of the biggest one I've ever seen is, it hangs out between 41 and I-75, and that fish is 600-700 pounds. Biggest Goliath grouper I've ever even imagined. This thing's a monster. Probably, I would say, if you put him on his side, you know, from the belly to his back would probably be 5-6 foot. At least 4 foot, 4 to 5. Let's call it realistic. I mean, 4 to 5 foot, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was actually taller than that. This is a big fish. He's down there. One of these days, we're gonna go out and just fish for him. Go out there and spend a few days just looking, because he hangs out there pretty steady, and he no fear of the boat. He just comes right up next to you and just swims right by. When he's on his way,
when you're that big, what do you have to be afraid of?
Yeah, there's nothing to be afraid of. He can swallow a human.
And there's nothing that can swallow him. There might be something that might be able to bite him, but what's it really going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
This is a big fish. But black drum, you got a lot of tarpon around the bridges right now.
A lot of juvenile and sub-adult tarpon.
A lot of the 60, 80-pound range out there. Now, once you get up towards I-75, you're dropping down a few pounds. You're looking at 30 to 60, 30 to 80, with the emphasis more on the 30-pounders. Yeah. But still, a 40-pound tarpon is still 3.5-4 foot long.
Absolutely.
So,
and actually is usually more acrobatic than a 120-pound tarpon is.
Yeah, taking 8 to 17-pound class rod up there and just have a ball.
Yeah. There has been a few silver trout and a few speckled trout around the bridges, both 75 and 41. The snook bite at night's been okay, but kind of quieted down this week. The crab pots have, you know, are all over up there.
Oh my God, the crab traps! If you're going to go on the Peace River right now, you want to make sure you have a pair of wire cutters, good pair of pliers, and a good knife. If it's a folding knife, make sure it has a good locking blade, because you've got every chance, I would say, better than even chance, of catching a crab trap in your prop.
Absolutely.
Because if you're not paying 100% strict attention to where you're going, and a few people have hit them, so the buoys are missing, you got floating lines, you got ghost traps. Ghost trap is one where somebody's cut the line off either because it was tangled in their prop or something has happened. But there is so many traps up there right now. It's literally littered like a minefield. You really have to be careful up there. But if you're going to go on the Peace River, remember the wire cutters, the pliers, the knife, because if you do get one of these traps, my best thing to do would be either take trolling motor and go as shallow, or get shallow somewhere we can get out of the boat and actually take it off.
Right.
It's very difficult to lean off the back of the boat. I've done it many times, but I don't recommend leaning off the back of the boat and cutting with the wire cutters to get it loose of your prop. Even with the motor tilted up, that's kind of a crazy angle to be hanging off of.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Try and get into some shallow water. Best way to tell shallow water is just stick your fishing pole in the water until, you know how deep the water is with your fishing pole. I don't always trust my depth finder to tell me when it's safe to get out, because the depth finder might see the top of the silt and say, okay, you're in 3 feet of water, but you put your fishing pole down, it easily goes down 4 or 5 feet because you have a foot or two of silt, and that's too deep to be standing in.
Yeah.
So I really...
Not deep enough to get stuck in, though.
Yeah, very, very...
Stuck up to your kneecaps and head under the water, not fun.
Yeah, you really want to be careful when you jump out of a boat when you're on the river, just in case of the muck and the silt. So always put your fishing pole, just stick your tip down in the water, and make sure that, it's shallow enough to actually stand up in. And anyway, did we miss anything?
No, I think we got it all. You know what?
Oh, the deep holes in the harbor.
20-foot holes.
Yeah, the deep holes.
Indeed.
Everything you've ever dreamed about, catching that catfish that you've waited your whole life to catch. If you go to the deep holes in the harbor, you can fulfill your catfish wishes right there in the middle of the harbor right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, did you want to catch a catfish on a fly rod? Have you wanted to catfish on a lure? Did you want to catch
water.
A topwater on a bait on the bottom? Yes, your catfish dreams will come true in the middle of the harbor right now.
And that's an assorted variety, too. It's sail cats and hardheads.
And
they're both out there in good good numbers.
The one thing it tells me, if I'm going to go out there and try for other species of fish, the first thing I'm going to do is catch some catfish and put catfish tails out.
Absolutely.
If I catch a smaller one, 10 inches or less, I'm cutting the pec fins off and the dorsal fin. I just take a pair of wire cutters, clip those fins so they just fold over. You don't have to get them off. Just make them fold over and put it out live. If I'm catching bigger ones, I just cut a chunk of the tail meat out and throw that, because when it's that full of catfish, that's what they're going to be eating.
Yeah.
And tarpon eat them, sharks eat them, everything.
Cobia eat them without blinking an eye. Cobia love them.
And a cobia will actually come up and clip, clip, clip.
Bite
the fins off and then swallow it. What a smarter fish.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
You got to give cobia credit for that. I mean, okay, I'm going to swallow you, your lunch, but let me get rid of these sharp, pointy things you got.
Kale only calls them a dumb fish because he couldn't catch them for so long.
Yeah, I mean, when Captain Kale had his 12-year cobia curse, yeah, he had pretty much got down on them. But I always wondered, when you're calling fish really dumb and really stupid,
is it you
and it
calling?
Outsmarts you for 12 years?
Yeah, who's really the dumb one?
Yeah, Captain Kale.
I've done that.
Yes.
I've done that. I've had that curse with fish, tarpon in particular. I mean, I had to have you as my lucky horseshoe on the boat for that.
Yeah, I'm good at that part of it. But anyway, I don't know if we're missing anything else.
I think that's about it.
We've had a few, this is our third show today. We've had Betty Stogler on, who is an amazing woman, and we're so lucky to have her as our Sea Grant agent.
Yeah. And it's pretty impressive.
Did Captain Kale with his tarpon stuff. If you haven't listened to the one with Captain Kale on it, it's some good information about fishing those tarpon up by 41 and I-75, rattle traps, bait busters, how they're working them. And poor Andy Griffin. I don't know why, but I feel bad about Andy Griffin.
Yeah, it's definitely a loss, without a doubt.
Yeah, you know, most of these celebrities from bygone days, as you get older, they all kind of come and go. But Andy Griffin,
Well, and he was also one of those ones that also stayed kind of in the shadows of everything. He didn't have to be in the spotlight. He didn't do anything totally lunatic and crazy that you heard of.
Right.
You know, so it's
I hope he did a lot of lunatic crazy stuff.
I hope he had a darn good life.
Yeah, I really do.
No doubt about it.
I really hope he had a very adventurous life. I'm sure he did. He had the money to do it with. Yeah. So, anyway, I guess that's pretty much about what we're going to be doing here.
Yeah.
So,
I think we covered it pretty well.
Yeah, it's kind of a quick one today. I don't really know what it kind of happened.
Well, sometimes it's the vacations and people just not getting as much feedback as we normally do, where we can stay a little bit more detailed on each individual spot. Some of the spots we scattered, we covered a larger area in a more condensed form this go-around because of the lack of feedback because of vacation.
A lot of people on vacation. It's a good thing. We hope you guys are enjoying your time and your vacations. And want to say hi again to the guy in Alabama. Have a safe trip to work.
Right.
That still freaked me out. I didn't know what to say. I've never had that happen before. Hi, aren't you Fish and Frank? I recognize your voice. I listen to you on my way to work.
Right.
I live in Alabama. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that's
still
going to
blow me away. But we're going to have lots more about radio fishing, a lot more stuff coming up. And if there's any topics you want, email me, frank@fishandfranks.com. And we'll be happy to do a show about it. We've got a lot of stuff planned. We're waiting for a major remodel. Chuck's Custom Carpentry is coming in to redo our studio here so that we can revamp
overhaul.
The show. Yeah, complete overhaul. Going to kind of miss the cobwebs and the
peeling
wood
paint.
Yeah, I mean, the 14 layers of paint, it's a multicolored room this way.
Yes,
so, but
yes.
We got time to get cleaned up and revamp our studios.
So, like a shanty town.
Yeah, but this was kind of like the last room left that was really me.
That's true.
I mean, this ain't no boutique, but parts of it are getting closer.
Yep.
Nah, not really. I mean, I looked around the other day and I said,
not quite.
Yeah, we ain't there by any means yet. So,
anyway,
Fish and Frank in the chair here, Robert in the chair across from me. I think we're going to let Bobby take us out of this today.
Perfect.
All right. Well, you guys have a great, great week.
This morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup. Give her a crank, I gotta talk with Fish and Frank. fishing. Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is fishing Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to fishing Frank's. You gotta go to fishing Frank's, the one who knows is fishing Frank's.